I have three kids, and two of them are sort of learning how to bike ride. One of them is better than the other. And so Hardy, my youngest boy, we got given a bike for him, and it's a pretty cool bike. It's a pretty sweet little bike, but I haven't done the training wheels very well on that thing. So when he rides his bike, it's like, ding, like it can his training wheels can allow him to fall over. That's basically how those work. And so we've been trying to learn riding his bike, and he'll still love to go, Daddy, take me to ride my bike. And I'm thinking, I don't know if my back can do this all day long again and push. And he thinks he's having a great time riding his bike, learning to do this thing. Just like, this is the best thing in the world if Daddy will just come out and push me. And so I'll push them along, and he'll just sort of coast. I'll say, pedal, and he'll pedal, hold on to the handlebars. And this was the most, one of the most patience trying moments. And as he's learning, we'd just be drifting all over the place. I'm pushing from behind, trying to let him to steer, and he's just steering all over the place. And I'll stop him. I'll say, Hardy, he's 2.5. Hardy, which way, with your tire pointing that way, which way are you going to go? And he's like, and he'll just point wherever he wants to go. He has no idea. His tire's pointing that way. And I'm like, which way is that going to put you? He's like, there? No! Try again. Which way is it going to point you? Still there? I'm like, okay, anyways, let's just carry on. Anyway, so he was getting better, starting to go, and then he'd start to say, Daddy, let's go fast. I don't even know what fast is. You know, okay, we're going to go fast. So I'd push him up, and he'd be pedaling hard, and then there's this very slight grade in our driveway. And so I'd say, okay, we're going to go down, and Daddy's with you, but now this is going to take you. So he'd start going, and he wanted to go fast, and the plan was to move along fast. But as soon as he starts going fast, all of a sudden, this is usually his response. He's going like this, his pedals are going, and he just goes like this. Handlebars, forget them. Pedals, forget them. He just, all four limbs out. Daddy, catch me, you know. And I'm like, what are you doing, son? We planned on going fast. You said you wanted to go fast. Now you're going fast. And you just drop the whole bike and forget this. I'm out. I don't care about what happened. I just like, keep your hands on the handlebars. Keep your feet on the pedals. Because I start feeling like, you don't trust me, boy. Pedal, pedal, pedal. Okay, feet on the pedals, hands on the handlebars. Here we go. Daddy's with you. Good job. Does it again. I'm like, what are you doing? You know, I don't know if you've ever experienced that or been as impatient as I have. But anyways, this is just like what it would have been like to be God in all of history with people. When we read the Bible and look through the Old Testament, if you don't know the Bible that well, the Old Testament is what comes before Jesus. The New Testament is during Jesus and post-Jesus. And the Old Testament tells all of these stories about God's people, Israel. And God identifies these people and kind of has a plan with these people, that he wants these people to know his blessing, to experience his devotion to them. He wants these people to go to an incredible place. He wants to give them a promised land. He wants to make their descendants as numerous as the seashore. He wants to make them as numerous as the stars. He wants to give them all of these special things. He says, I'm going to give it to you. Do you want that? And they say, yeah, let's do it. That sounds great, God. Let's carry on. We're for you. We're with you. We're behind you. Let's get moving. He said, okay. And they start moving. They follow in the plan. And then they let go of the handlebar and say, yeah, never mind. We don't want to do this, actually. I know you had a plan, God. I know you thought we were going to go in that direction, but it doesn't look that good anymore. And they start turning away from God's plan. And they start complaining about God's plan. They start complaining about his provision. They start complaining about all the things that he had said that they would have, as he'd give them food. And they'd say, nah, this isn't the food we want. He'd give them water, miraculous. And he'd say, it doesn't matter. He gave them leadership. And miracles happened all around them. And they're just, forget it. And they'd be disobedient and all of these things. And what I've learned when I read the Old Testament is that God is so devoted to his people. It wasn't even just his people. He told his people, he said, I want you to be a kingdom of priests. Priests were the one who connected the people to God. A kingdom of priests is a kingdom of people that would connect everyone to God. He said, I don't only want to bless you. I don't only want to do great things in your life. I want to show my devotion to you that you may have a relationship with me that everyone would look on and say, look at that. Look at that loving God. Look at those loving people. And look how they work together. That's incredible. We want that. And then I will give it to everyone. I will pour out my blessing. Oh, that is the God that Israel had on their side. They kept turning away. If there were three steps to the plan, one was God show his devotion. Step two was the people show their devotion to God and be in relationship with him. And step three, the world gets to know that relationship with God. They didn't even get past step one. God showed his devotion. They turn away. God comes back and says, I still love you and still have a plan for you. They complain. God comes back again and says, I still have something for you and we can keep moving. In fact, I'll add more and more onto it. And they go for a little while and then they whine and then they build other idols and then they worship other things and they turn away. It's just crazy when you read through the Old Testament and look at it. I was yesterday at a course in Vancouver. I'm slowly working on my master's degree. And I was there, and the course I'm taking is called The New Testament's Use of the Old Testament. It's just showing how the Old Testament ties in to the New Testament, how you can't actually fully understand the New Testament without the Old Testament. And as we do that, and then I'm also teaching a grade 7 class at Gilardi Academy. Anyone know Gilardi Academy? Come on. I'm also teaching grade 7 there, and the class is called Old Testament. So I've been in the Old Testament seriously a lot right now. And as I walk through, I just can't believe that God would be so gracious with such a stubborn, stiff-necked, rebellious group of people. But he was. He was. It wasn't just when Jesus came that God all of a sudden learned grace. God knew grace all the way through the Old Testament. God knew mercy all the way through the Old Testament. God relented from his judgment all the way through the Old Testament. God devoted himself to the people of Israel. Devoted himself. Then Jesus came. Because God tried to build this relationship, the people kept turning away. He said, that's it. Someone actually eventually has to take on my judgment, and I don't want to put it on these people. He sent his son, Jesus. He put his judgment on him. Jesus died and said, now anyone who comes to me can have perfect relationship with the Father through me. This all happens. The people that God called his people all the way along, the Israelites, they ended up actually killing Jesus and hanging him on a cross and doing all that stuff. And then after that, Jesus comes back to his disciples who said they were devoted to him, but when the push came to shove, they all ditched him when he went to the cross. Jesus comes back to them and said, hey guys, I'm still here and we're still friends and I still love you and I still have plans for you and I've still got something great for you to do if you'll just take it. Would you take it? Peter, James, John, do you guys want it or what? They're like, yeah, sure. I mean, we turned our back on you. What's going on? He's like, well, that's old hat. It's been happening through the whole Bible. They always turn their back on me and I'm always the God who comes back to them. And loves them, and empowers them, and gives them a chance again. So here I am. Do you want the chance again? Like, okay, but we're scared. And he says, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit comes. Peter gets filled with the Spirit, full of courage. And all of a sudden, there's all of these people, just after Jesus has died and risen from the dead, there's all of these people hanging around at this one festival in town. And Peter goes out, and he starts to preach to them. As he's preaching to them, he starts talking about basically what I just talked to you about. There's this story, and over time, there's this God. He tells them all of these things, and eventually he says, and now this Jesus who God sent, who was God in the flesh, you killed him. That sounds like an exciting sermon, doesn't it? And it says in that point, these people who had been hardened to the gospel, had been hardened to the plan of God. All of a sudden it says they were cut to the heart and they say, what should we do? What should we do, Peter? And Peter says, repent, be baptized, be filled with the Holy Spirit. So that happens. And then the very next verse in Acts 2:42 is where we're going to pick up. It says, and they devoted themselves. Sometimes we get this a little bit confused. I think actually most times we get this a little bit confused. Where we think, once we hear the message of Jesus, once we hear the message of this devoted God to us, that we think, that's so nice, he's so devoted to me, I accept, I believe, I want it, it's great, and now I'm going to go and carry on with my life and do what I want. But don't worry, I'll be back every Sunday. And in fact, I might even devote myself to reading the Bible 10 minutes a day. We think that's it. These guys had this experience where they realized, whoa, we did all this stuff. We messed up. We broke everything. We did it all wrong. And he's still coming back for us. Okay, we want to follow this guy. We give up our old ways. We give up our old sins. We want to follow him and do what he says. We want to go in that direction. It says they devoted themselves. Devotion is not this one thing that you do once a day or once a week with your Bible where you read a few books or a few chapters or a few verses or a few words and pray a quick prayer. Devotion isn't a thing that you do, it's a lifestyle. Devotion is everything. It's not giving it a try, it's giving it your life. It's not, I'll see what we do here. No, God says, wait, I gave you everything. I devoted my whole life to you. I devoted everything. In fact, Jesus gave literally his life to you. That devotion calls for a new level of devotion. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Isn't that crazy? Crazy community all of a sudden starts up. Like, it wasn't like, that's great, okay, I give my life to Jesus, right, way to go, let's go grab some lunch and carry on. It's like, okay, now how does my life become devoted to this? And it wasn't just, I'm devoted to coming, I'll come once a week and hang out, and as long as the sermon is good and the worship team plays my song, my jam, as long as they do that, then I'm okay. I devote myself to coming to church once a week. They said, how can we give our life to this movement? How can we pour ourselves out into this whole thing? Who in the community has need that we can take care of? Who doesn't have friends that we need to befriend? Who needs to be fed that we need to feed? What don't I know about the Bible that I need to learn? What don't I know about my community that I need to figure out? What are the needs that I need to take care of in the Comox Valley? What is it that I need to do? Because God was sure devoted to me. I better figure out how to be devoted to Him, to His church, to his mission, to his community, with my gifts, with my talents, with my money, with my everything. I got to figure it out. And this is the community that shook the world. This one did. This is the church. This is when the church started. Church wasn't church before Jesus. There was meetings, yeah. There was lots of temple meetings. They knew how to do that before Jesus. But after Jesus, church took on a whole new meaning. Meaning more than a meeting. Hello. That'll preach. They all of a sudden devote themselves to one another, to this new life. Not just to the big gathering. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread together in the home. See, they did both of these things. Let's go to the temple and hang out together, and let's break bread. Let's go to the temple and make sure we listen to some teachings and make sure we're all on the same page and going in the same direction and inspired by the same stories and sharing this big vision and giving our money to it so that it can be accomplish a bigger thing. Let's all go do that. But let's not forget that afterwards we should go make sure that we meet in smaller gatherings, in small groups perchance. And let's, when we get together in those places, let's make sure we're encouraging each other and spurring each other on and sharing stories and believing for great things. And let's get a hallelujah on this one. Eating. Hey. They got together and they ate. Nothing sounds all that holy about that, but when you have a really good meal, it's like something about just getting together and being with each other and eating and laughing and sharing stories. It adds depth when you show up on Sunday and you've had a whole week with people. When you've had some, when you've overcome something, you show up on Sunday, you have something to celebrate. When we get together on Sunday, this is like a celebration service. This is a time where we rejoice and we tell God who He is. But when we come and we haven't actually seen who God is in the week, we haven't had our eyes open to what He's been doing, we haven't helped anyone work through something, we haven't had some laughs, we haven't pushed it forward in mission, we come on Sunday, what do we have to celebrate that we didn't have last week? God wants to enrich our weeks with church, with the movement of God and the community of God. We do big church on Sunday. We do small church the rest of the week. That's 6 days we've got that. We've only got big church once a week. We're talking the series, the two-week series that we're doing is called Devoted. This week I kind of wanted to hit on devoted to big and small. And next week I want to talk about what happens with mission and money with the devoted life. Who's excited about that one? What happens when we start to allow God to take over our time so that we can give to His mission and take over our finances so that we can invest in the kingdom, invest in what God is doing. And so it's been good this year. I want to be able to talk about that next week. But this week is big and small. We did a survey recently. There's a organization called the Natural Church Development. And Natural Church Development was this organization led by Christian Schwartz. And they traveled around the world for years, going to growing churches and shrinking churches, large churches and small churches, ethnically diverse and ethnically sort of uniform, different generations and all sorts of different communities and gatherings of church. And they started to study and wanted to know, what is it that makes a church grow and thrive? What makes a church really impact a community? What causes a church to become vibrant and alive and grow? What does it do? What has to happen for that to take place? And they broke it down finally into 8 characteristics. And those 8 characteristics, if you have them all growing, your church will grow and thrive. They put it against a number of churches have done this all over the place and seen these really incredible results. And so we came towards that, said, hey, let's see how we're doing. We took a number of our people who are in membership or members and in small groups and on team, and we put them all together and we said, hey, let's do this survey. We did a survey that they wrote out to find out what's our lowest, what's the spot that we're not doing our greatest at? Where does that land? Now, first of all, I want to tell you that our church is looking really healthy based on this survey. I could have told you that anyways, but our church is looking good. There's on the survey, on the graph, there's a line for low, a line for average, and a line for high. And we have only 2 things under the high. Our average is above high. And so our church is in a really healthy place and doing really well. But the concept of this piece is that whatever our lowest, just like a barrel, if you had a barrel full of water, whatever the lowest slat, the water's going to come out at that spot. No matter how high the other ones are, you can't hold more than that lowest slat. And so the concept is, whatever is our lowest, let's build that thing up, and then find a new lowest and build that thing up, and find a new lowest and build that thing up. And so that's what we're kind of doing as a church. Well, as we looked at the results, they came in this week, which is sooner than I thought, and it lines up really well with where this week was going. Our very best, our very highest, was inspirational worship services. Hey? Is anyone surprised by that? Come on, that's awesome, isn't it? That means we've got a fun Sunday. We've got a good Sunday. Things are good here. The way we do big, we like it. And it is growing. It makes sense. We're growing as a church. We have more people coming and wanting to be part of this with us. And I'm just so excited that we've got an incredible. Actually, that one was quite a bit ahead of our other ones. And some of the other ones were like empowering leadership or need-based evangelism or passionate spirituality. But our low on this chart, which actually isn't all that low, but at our lowest, was holistic small groups. And I saw that, I'm like, what? God, we've been working so hard at this year. We've gone, since I've been here, we've gone from somewhere 6 or 7 to out in that lobby, you'd see between 30 and 35 small groups now. And so we're thinking, this is something we're thriving at. We're doing awesome at this. This is incredible. But God said to me, Evan, why are you so disappointed? This just confirms that the very thing that has been on your whole, all of your hearts is the very thing that should be there. And I want to work on this. Because God cares for every single person in this room. Cares for every heart in this room. And every heart in this room, if they just showed up on a Sunday and devoted themselves to making it to Sunday, isn't going to experience the fullness of God. But when you take this and you go spend time with people, you sit with others. You walk through hard times together. You pray for each other and experience the joy that comes when you're vulnerable and honest and real and see God move in your personal life with other people. Man, you will start to experience the fullness of God. And you'll have something to invite other people into. And so we are committed this year. We're devoted to making these small groups happen. That's going to mean two things. One, we need more small groups. And two, we need those small groups to be thriving. We need leaders to be passionately praying for the people in their group. We need more people who have been in groups to become leaders of new small groups. We need to make more opportunity for people to get involved. We have a number of thriving small groups that have said, no, we're too full now this year because they've had too many people come. We don't want to see that happen. We want to see the empowerment of people within those groups saying, oh, actually, we should be leading one, and we should be leading one, and we should be leading one. Because if we grow really big as a church and we miss this point, we're going to have all sorts of people all over the city saying, yeah, I went to that church and I liked it, but no one cared about me. No one knew my name. No one noticed when I left. Reality is, I stand up here, and if you don't come next week, I may miss it. But if you're in a small group, they won't. They won't miss it. They'll miss you. They'll wish you were there. You'll be part of them. So let's get devoted to that together as a church this year. I'm going to take a second and invite four small group leaders up. We have, I'd like to just sort of paint a picture of who some of our small group leaders are and some of the areas that we're trying to reach into because I'd like to show you what we're doing and what's happening with that. But I'd also love to show you the areas that we don't have anything yet. Because maybe you say, I need to be part of this so that we can, as a church, all of a sudden have a place for instance, young adults to be a part of. Small group where they feel loved and cared for and cherished, where right now we don't necessarily have that. I had a new small group come up just after the first service. Someone came to me and said, hey, we don't have a small group for this. They went outside. We don't have a small group for this particular thing. It was actually widows and widowers. We don't have a small group for this, and why don't we have that? I said, because you haven't started it yet. So get going. You know? So get going. Here we go. And so I want to introduce you to four people who have said, yeah, let's get started. We're going to run with this. And they're all connected to a different hub. You guys can come up. The four hubs that we have are Freeform, Age and Stage, Recovery, and Common College. And that means that all of our small groups fit into one of those areas. Recovery, we have Grief Share and Divorce Care. And then we have two Celebrate Recovery small groups that we're going to talk about today. Age and Stage. Age talks about if you want to be in a small group where you're connecting with people at your stage of life, there's a small group for you. That one we'll talk about with Carla in a second and also with Kenton because we want to connect people who are in the similar stage of life and walking through similar things together. Then there's a Common College, which is new to us, which basically is just going to be a small group where you learn. It's devoted to teaching about the Bible and understanding more about the Bible and Christian life. And then the last is Freeform. And Freeform takes everything else. You could be a baking pie small group and meet together and bake pies and just love each other and try to grow in your faith and pray for each other. Or you could be devoted to reading the Bible and just learning together in a communal kind of way. Those are free form small groups. Okay, so we're going to chat with these guys about their small groups and what's going on with them. And just so you can get an idea of some of what's happening, what's out there right now, and what we're trying to accomplish. So go ahead and introduce yourself first over there. You push the one on the left, bottom, gray one.
Wrong left,
yeah. That's a hard one. I've never gotten that one either.
Hello.
Are you on?
Yep, I think so.
Is he on? Yeah, okay, good. This is, what's your name?
My name is Jim Robertson.
Hi, Jim. You can say hi. Say hi, Jim. Okay. They're a friendly bunch. They're a friendly bunch. Don't worry.
And I am a recovering alcoholic through the grace of God, Jesus Christ. Yeah.
How many years? How many years there, Jim?
You like that, do you?
I love it. Yeah.
I got to say a little bit. First of all, celebrate recovery is a neat thing, and I think this community is ready for it.
Yeah.
There is a lot of people of need, and what better way to see it happen is through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I was sober for a lot of years or a few years, and then I got drunk. And then Jesus met me. Mm-hmm. When I first got involved with sobriety, a wise man told me that chair was my higher power because it would hold up my weight. And that's the way I had to look at it. But somewhere along the way, Jesus became real.
Yeah.
He came into my life and he took away the desire to drink and use drugs and gave me sobriety for the last 39 years.
Amen. Amen. I know most of you are thinking he can't be 39 years old. Yeah. Believe it or not. Yeah, praise God. So Celebrate Recovery is something we've been talking about for a lot of years, a lot of months, trying to get this thing going in the Comox Valley. And we've been doing leadership meetings. When we launch it, we want to launch it in a way that we're strong. And Celebrate Recovery says that it's recovery for anyone with hurts, habits, and hang-ups, which is approximately everyone. So right now, Jim, the night looks like they do a meal together, and then there's a gathering time with worship, and then there's a teaching of some sort or testimony, and then following that is the small groups. And so what do our small groups look like right now, Jim?
We have a separate meeting for ladies and a separate meeting for guys,
yep,
for obvious reasons. And then we start learning and talking about what's in our heart.
Yeah.
And this talking is not confrontational. Is just reaching out.
Yeah.
And they step into a place where they can be real.
Yeah.
And where they can learn about our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And where he can do a lot of work.
Yeah. So praise God. The Celebrate Recovery we're connected with best is in Victoria. And in Victoria, they're small groups. They'd have a chemical dependency and a codependency and an eating disorder and a sexual sin type one. And they have all of these different small groups meeting every Friday night. And for us, we're just going to start with one men's and one women's. And we're going to believe that more is going to come out of this. I believe that by next year at this time, we'll have 7 or 8 new recovery small groups specifically for people who need to walk through their hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And Jesus will free it. We'll free them, right?
Most definitely.
Amen. Amen. So thank you, Jim. You tell us who you are, miss.
I am Crystal Davidson. I'm a teacher at Gilardi Christian School, and also a Bible school student, and I'm really, really, really passionate about this book, and I call it my love story from God, and he gave us this wonderful insight to who he is, to how he works, and it's a really honest account of God's working in history, and I absolutely love the book, but as you can tell, for those of you who have not mastered the reading part, it's big. That's onion skin paper in a, 1,700 pages or something. And so in Common College, we are hoping to bring some courses to people who maybe feel a little overwhelmed about what the Bible is about, or maybe feel like, how do I know when I read something if that's really for me? Or how do I know, why are there four Gospels? Wasn't one good enough? Couldn't we have just skipped all the other ones and carried on? They all just repeat the same stories and blah, blah, blah. So what we do is we're going to go through as a group together, and we're going to explore what the Bible really has to say and get a nice handle on how to be able to approach the book with some intelligence and confidence, and also just to start pouring God's word in a context into our hearts and minds. Mm-hmm. And for me, I'm so passionate about it because my entire life has been, well, a lot of drama and a lot of challenges. And I don't think I would be sitting in this seat today if it wasn't for the word of God which dwells richly in me. And as I go through the hard things of life, the scripture just comes and comes and comes.
Yeah.
I am your defender. I am your rock. I am this. I am that. I will do this. I did it for him. I'll do it for you. And so I encourage anybody, no matter if you know absolutely nothing about the Bible or whether you know a lot, that this is great. So we're starting tomorrow here in the new upper room. There's two courses. Joy Tansky is going to do How to Study the Bible. And that starts at 6 till 7. Then we're going to have about a half-hour break. If you can only go to one, that's fine. If you want to do both, that's fine. But we'll start at 7:30 with the class I'll be teaching, which is studying the New Testament.
Awesome. So essentially, these are two different classes. We put them on the same night so that Crystal and Joy can work together on them, and it's great. But you can pick one or the other, 6 to 7 or 7:30 to 8:30 tomorrow night, or you can do both if you really like to. They're free. The only thing we'll ever charge is if we have to do books for these Common College classes, but this time they're free. If you want to jump in on that, want to learn, that's great. If you're already in a small group and you say, I can't leave my small group and do that, we have a semester system for small groups, and so 13 weeks they're going to do this, and then at the end of that 13 weeks the class is done, and you could jump back into your small group if you need to decide one way or the other. All right? Okay, thank you, Crystal. And who's this man? What's your name?
Hello, my name is Kenton Duncan.
Hey, Kenton. Kenton, what are you connected with? What sort of small group network are you connected with within the church?
Well, with Northgate, I'm connected with Pastor Allen in Thrive Youth. Yeah. It happens on Wednesdays from grade 6 to 12.
Yeah, cool. And so this year, especially, Pastor Allen and his team have decided, let's really push for small groups. Why do that with youth?
Kids noticed they love coming out and hanging out, playing games with us, but they're craving a little bit more a connection with adults or with their God. Mm-hmm. So we just been really plugging in and praying that this year we can focus in on that and meet the desires of their hearts and build a biblical foundation for them in their spiritual walk.
Yeah, cool. And Kenton, I wanted to have you up here in part because you were impacted by someone investing in you at a youth kind of age. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I'd love to tell you about that. So I was drastically impacted by a very influential youth pastor in the Valley, Johnny Shagru. He works for CBC, super rad fellow. He brought me up when I was just a little kid, and I was struggling with things, and he continued to walk beside me in areas where I was falling short and bringing me up to new levels, and I was just so grateful for that. Mm. He encouraged me in so many different ways, and he was definitely my largest role model as a kid. He influenced me to go on a missions trip to Hawaii, and there I really saw, Hawaii. Woo.
Yeah. who feels the call to mission all of a sudden?
Yeah, and there I saw the fruits of his labor really poured out on my life, what he's been preaching to me,
cool,
and just hoping for me all this time. I've just felt so blessed and encouraged by his story through me. So when I came back, started working with him on a clothing line that's taken off pretty well, and we used part of the proceeds to give back to kids.
Cool.
To teach them how to surf. So
cool.
It's been a great experience.
It's awesome. Hey, that's great. Hey, thank you, Kenton. And our last at the end here, this is
Carla Eliason.
This is Carla Eliason. Woo! And Carla actually is connected with and leading in three different small groups right now. We used to be, at my last church, we were connected with this church in India. And every time people would go to India, they'd come back and say, oh, there's this leader that leads like seven small groups in a week. It's just crazy. I want to be like that person. I want to do that here. And sooner or later, they'd start to say, you know what? It's hard around here. I'm busy, or work is different here, or things like that. But Carla has devoted herself to this ministry and devoted herself to investing in people here in the large capacity, but also in small gatherings. And so, Carla, I really thank you for that. Thanks for doing that for us and for the church. And when you think of your investment into live small group is incomparably influential compared to anything else. But anyways, Carla, tell me about the group that you and Dave started this last year.
Yeah, we started a young marrieds group. Pastor Evan had approached us about leading it, and pretty much we facilitate it. I don't know if we lead it. We host it, and we have a great group of young marrieds that come out, and the group has grown, and we're to the point now where we're actually going to be splitting the group with the young marrieds with kids and the young marrieds without kids, and I think that for Dave and I, mentorship has always been kind of a vital part of our lives. We see the value in it. So this is just kind of a part of that. And it's been awesome. We really enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, my wife and I were in a young married small group when we were young and married. Still married, less young. But we were in that group, and it was so impacting for us. So incredible to meet the other people and talk about the weird challenges that start in that stage of life and what's going on. And that group sort of fell apart because everyone started having kids. And all of a sudden they're like, oh, I can't come, we got kids, and we're doing this. And so we've identified that sort of challenge, and we're trying to address that early on. So some people started having kids. And so we're establishing a new group with young married couples with kids, which will be awesome because we can just cycle them through. They'll come to you, and then there'll be a new group here, and that's just amazing to be able to do. So, Carla, are you young and married? Yeah. These two, Carla and Dave, have raised three boys who are all grown and carried on and living in their careers and lives and everything. And I want you to know that you don't have to be in a certain stage of life to lead a certain stage of life. And in fact, Dave and Carla's experience in life and in marriage has been so valuable for the group that's coming up, whereas if a young married couple decided to lead that same group, it might have a different impact. And so if you're here and you say, you know what, I just don't have, I'm not sure where I fit, maybe your fit is you open up your house because you maybe have a house and you could provide a meal and you could clean up after people and just serve another group that just facilitates, so it becomes an opportunity to actually happen, right? So Dave and Carla have done that really well. Their wisdom and experience is invaluable to them. It's important, but even more is just their care and love to open up their house and cook and clean for that group. So praise God for people who will invest. Thank you, all four of you, for investing in small groups in this church. So we wanted to share a little bit about those people and what's going on. There's more groups that are new also. We've added Grief Share this year, which will be happening in January, and that's about for people who have lost a loved one. We've added an apologetics class or a small group, just sitting around talking about faith and how to talk to people about faith and your faith. And so we're trying to add more and more all the time, but we need more. We need people to devote themselves to this, to devote themselves to community. Maybe you're a young adult and you say, I wish there was a young adult small group, and God is calling you to start it up and get things moving in that way. And you just need to call a few friends together and say, hey, let's start praying together regularly, maybe. Whatever it might look like, God is calling for our devotion, and it's not because he needs it so that he'll give us something. He has been devoted to us through history. What does it look like for us to be devoted to him, to this church, to this community, and to the Comox Valley around us? And so I would love, if you're in a small group and you've been in it for a while, you are some of the best candidates for leading a small group. If you've seen how it functions and goes, you've been in one, you've been part of one, and now you're saying, this is just so nice, and I just get to sit in this small group and be with my friends, that's great, but there's a whole lot of other people looking for that same thing in this church. Would you consider devoting yourself to this ministry by stretching out and starting a new small group? Chatting with Pastor George about that. Or would you consider, if you're not in a small group, stepping out of your comfort zone, maybe recognizing that great relationship requires a first step, and jumping into a small group and taking part in it coming up. We're going to try to push for this. We're going to try to get you involved. We want you to be part of this because we believe it's the best thing for you. And it's the best thing for us as a church as we grow and just expect greater things from God. So can I just pray for us? Lord, thank you so much. You've given us this building. You gave us this building, Lord. And not only that, but you've filled it. You've put people in it. And that relationships have started and friendships have started, and there are talented people who are able to use their gifting in worship and in coffee and in greeting people and doing all of these different things. But Lord, you're also rising up leaders who should be leading small groups, also rising up ministers in this place who should be investing and pouring into people and caring for people. And Lord, I pray that we wouldn't be a people, a church that sits and complains about what we don't have, but we'd be a people and a church who starts to fight to make it happen, to give ourselves, devote ourselves to the work of God, so that what's not here right now will be here in a year. Lord, teach us to follow your ways. Help us to pursue you. Help us to devote ourselves to this ministry. And thank you for your devotion to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last thing I want to say, if today you say, I don't actually know that God who's devoted to me, that you tell me about, I haven't heard of him, I haven't seen him, I haven't experienced him in my life, I don't know what it's like to have someone devoted to me. He's no less God now than he was in the Old Testament. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if today you say, I sort of feel like I'm one of those who sort of has my heart cut a little bit, where I feel like there's something going on here, and I need to know that God who is devoted to me, I want to be part of that, we'd love to pray for you. We'll have some people over at the side who will pray for you after, if you'd like to go and chat with them and just talk about what the next steps look like. But certainly one of those next steps is jumping into a small group, coming and being a part of this with us. Northgate is not just a Sunday gathering. It's big church on Sunday, but it's small church the rest of the week. And we want you to be a part of it and join us in it. All right? Love you guys. Have a great week. We'll see you next week for Vision Sunday. Stick around for lunch and Vision next week.